Welcome to For the Record, an unfiltered view on current trends and timeless advice for surviving in the aesthetics industry. Whether you're an injector, practice owner, sales rep, or marketer, it's time to set the record straight. Each week, we cut through the chaos and showcase diverse perspectives and winning ideas from the best minds in the industry. I'm your host, Dr. Tiffany Hall, Chief Growth Officer at Aesthetic Record. Now, let's get started on this week's episode. Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of For the Record. This is episode 58 on the tail end of season 3, and we're saving the best for almost last. We have our first ever repeat guest on. We have Jared Rohr, who you guys may all know from Aesthetic Next, the piano man, with a smooth voice like John Legend and some great, he can tickle the ivories, as they say. You may also know him from really good content. He has done a lot with Chino Aguilera, put on BTS a couple times. He's done a lot of things in the industry around production, video, YouTube, all that. But he has an incredible new venture. I shouldn't say new. It's been around for quite some time, where he is really changing the game for practices from a marketing perspective, from taking the lead generation and turning it on its head from Google and where you rank to the words that you use, what you use for text marketing, to making your internet presence, your digital presence really pop and making your practice stay fully booked, which is the whole point of all this, right? To make money. So the mastermind behind it all, the most talented guy I've ever known, Jared Rohr, welcome to our show.
Oh my gosh. That's so awesome. Thanks, Tiffany. I appreciate your kind words. You're always such an encourager. And I'm always so like, I'm always honored just to be around you because I've learned so much from you. And anybody that doesn't know this, I knew Tiffany when I first started in the industry. And we were like, we were pen pals on email when I was working with Chino Bay. And you've helped me grow more than almost anybody that I know. So I'm grateful to be here. And grateful for your belief.
I love having you on. It's always a treat to have you. And oddly enough, my phone still has your name as Jared Loveboy on it. Because one night we got a little tanked up in Vegas, I think, a little turned up, and I put it in there. So still to this day, every time it rings.
I put it in there. I put it. When you were a little turned up, that was why. I was like, oh my gosh, we have to make sure that we have each other's phone numbers. And I put it in as a joke. And then it just stuck.
I never changed it. So every time you call me, I'm like, oh, that's how fun. But you're doing some really cool stuff. You're a guy whose brain I love to pick about. All things marketing, digital marketing is really your forte. You've taken it into a whole new direction with the company Aesthetic Conversion. So guys, it's AC, Aesthetic Conversion. It's the website is fantastic, easy to read, easy to navigate. You are living out what you preach, obviously. And I want to hear all about that today and what you're doing. Part of GAIN Business Faculty. So you're touring the country talking about business concepts. Just did a big thing for Revision, I think, last week about the top 50 accounts.
Yeah, that
and
was
helping
fun.
Them to make an impact. And so I think Google is so unknown, as you know. It's like an anomaly, mystical creature in the world. We don't understand the algorithm. I think that's part of it. How do we market with email, text, AI coming into the fold now? So I want to start with at the very top, when you're out and about and talking with your clients, what are you hearing about in this industry today are the most pressing issues?
There's a handful of issues that I think people struggle with the most. I think one of the biggest things is not understanding the value and the purpose of your website. It's something that I've been shaping for a while. There's a great, and I know that you love him too. There's a great guy named Donald Miller that owns a company called Building Your Story Brand that I've learned a ton from, especially philosophically from how you should build your digital presence. And you need to be thinking about your website as your digital storefront. There are so many meticulous hours that practices spend like digging in deep on, okay, what happens when the person walks through the front door? And then how do we greet them? What's the exact verbiage? Where do they sit? What are the things that we put around them? Where are the banners that we're posting up about our specials? Where are the, when they're sitting in the chair, what are they seeing on the TV in front of them? And how do we have that conversation? What does it look like to add on more? Like there is an ad nauseum people go in the practice to say, what does that journey look like when somebody enters our business? But one thing that I think is not considered enough is that your website is your digital storefront. That is when people walk in through your digital door, what's the conversation that they're having? How are we encouraging them to book appointments? How are we showing them appropriately what services you guys have? And how are we leading them through that conversation so that by the end of it, they say, yes, this is the practice for me. I'm going to book a service with them. And I'm really excited about it. I'm not skeptical about them. I don't think they're sketchy because being on the other side of things with the website, you want to let it lead that conversation. So I think intentionality around websites is something that I think is shifting and forming within the industry, and it's not something that's respected enough yet. I think for the longest time, your website was just, let's put all our information out there. Let's put every single service out there. And I'm starting to see people tweak and switch where they're like, oh my gosh, maybe I shouldn't just put every single product name that I use on my website. Maybe I should actually list it by outcome, because that's what people are actually looking for. They aren't going on. People think you get tons of people that are brand new to the industry. You get like brand new patients that are like, oh, I need Botox. Botox will fix literally every problem I have. And you're like, well, no, you just know the word Botox and you think that means looking prettier, you know? And so leading them to be like, oh, well, actually, if I'm going to get cheeks, I need to be using this kind of a filler, or I need to be using threads, or I need to be, or if like I had, for example, my mom's friend called me the other night and she goes, Jared, I'm getting a, I got, it's not called Botox. What's it called? It's called Dysport. And she goes, yeah, I got Dysport, Jared. And it's not getting rid of my wrinkles. I said, well, it might decrease your movement. It's not going to get rid of your wrinkles altogether. She's in her 60s. And I was like, you probably need something else. Did they suggest anything else? She goes, yeah, they said microneedling and maybe a laser. And I said, yeah, that sounds more accurate to me. And she goes, but I thought, you know, Botox or neurotoxin fixes everything. I said, well, you might not have had all the education. So something that I have just been passionate about recently is making sure that the website is not just an informational post that you just check the box. It should be leading that conversation. And the websites that we see do that well are getting insane conversion rates. They are converting way more people into their sales funnels than anybody. And they're outperforming other websites month over month over month. And the scary thing is, if you're not doing this with your website, you need to be, because you're going to be outperformed by somebody up the street that just started last month. Unfortunately, you know, you could have been in business for 15 years and you're going to have somebody up the street that does a better job showing up on Google and does a better job leading people through the conversation on their website and takes the appointments that could be coming towards your practice. So I think leading the conversation is one of the things that I think is undervalued the most, that people struggle with. And that usually they're like, oh, I can do that, you know, when we have that conversation.
Well, so let's rewind 4 or 5 years ago. People were convinced I just had to have Instagram. Instagram really started its like fame, you know, trajectory. And it's like, guys, you have to have a website. Like, people have to come look at your before and afters, your services, find out the about us section. Like, Instagram is a moment in time. It's a snapshot of something. Like, you know, a post that's on your grid is not getting reviewed all the time. It's just there. But your website's constantly being looked at and evaluated and scrutinized by, you know, onlookers. We work at the company and do some online booking things, and people don't have websites. And I'm always shocked. Like, how do you think you're going to drive traffic? Like, where are you going to put your booking link? On your Instagram link in bio? Mm-hmm. It's got to be on your website. And I feel like it's almost a sure bet. You can have a website and no Instagram and be crazy successful. You can never have Instagram and no website and be crazy successful. I just think it can never work. We have so many doctors who look at Steve Yolen. He has no social presence at all, but he has a great website that people are coming to, word of mouth referrals. He has a brand that he's really built that still propagates and, you know, perpetuates beyond him. And it doesn't take Instagram. So I think that there is a misnomer right now that Instagram is the holy grail. And while it is certainly important, especially from injector to injector communications, a website to me is just a place where all of your content lives. And I love what you mentioned about your mom with the whole Dysport thing. Yeah. Is you think about that, if that picture online showed a multimodality correction, which showed the before and after using Dysport, laser, microneedling, or filler, they could walk in saying, gosh, I love that before and after. And then the injector's like, oh, this patient used these four modalities. I recommend the same thing for you, plus one more. It just makes the conversation easier to start versus having to upsell from the get-go that it's going to take all those things to achieve that result. It's almost like you give them the behind the scenes of this great, incredible outcome is because of these four or five things. Yeah. Instagram is hard to do that because you don't have enough format, enough time for that. And you can't really tell the patient's story in 1 minute, let's be honest.
Yeah. And you need to have something that bridges the gap too. Like Instagram, yes, technically people could start their business or maybe build their business, like the beginning of their business, maybe on Instagram. And I've seen some people do that, but long-term success, you have to have something because you have to be able to bridge that gap and capture information. Instagram cannot do that for you. Instagram will not capture. I mean, there are like ads that you can maybe run and do lead forms there, but from capturing somebody's information and entering it into your CRM, you can't do as well through social media. And the goal of social media is that it enters people into your sales funnel. Like the goal is like, it's top of funnel. It's one of the first like handshakes that you get into your business, which is good, but we want to be able to capture their information so they can enter into your monthly newsletter, your texts that you're sending out. We want to make sure that you have multiple touch points on these people so that if somebody's not quite ready, 3 months down the road, they're still getting your newsletters and they say, you know what? That's right. I just got an email from those guys. You know, I'm going to go in. You can't do that with Instagram, because what's going to happen is if they're ignoring you, you're never going to show up on their feed. You're not going to show up in their stories. You're not going to show up because they've been ignoring you for 3 months. So why would Instagram serve you up to them? But if you can force your way in with an email or a text, then you're essentially, you've already captured that lead at that point, because you don't own the lead until you have the list. You don't own the lead until you have the list. You can't get your Instagram followers. If you decided to leave Instagram, you cannot take all 30,000 of your followers, you know, or however many followers an individual has, 20,000, 30,000 followers, you cannot take them with you to your other platforms. You can encourage them to go follow you, but you can't export that list as a CSV with their name, contact, phone number, email address, and just import it somewhere else. Because Instagram wants the lead. That's Instagram's lead, and you are helping to build their business by obsessing over the social media platforms, because the social media platforms are just that. It's a top of funnel opportunity to grab attention and put them into your actual list. Because if you don't own the lead, then you don't own the lead.
Yeah, you're just renting space on their storefront. We had Ernice Williams on last year. She's an attorney. You guys probably know her, but she said, you know, with Instagram, because her whole thing was like, even the legalities of that, like you're just renting from Instagram. They can shut you down at any moment. They can say, they can shadow ban you. They can cut you off. You can lose a password and gosh, it takes, you know, 3 months to get it back, or you have to get verified again. When it's your own website and your own email list, you own that stuff. Like that is yours. And so no one can say you can't send emails anymore. Like obviously if you get banned from Mailgun or SendGrid or somebody, but you own that person. And so again, to your point, if I go from CRM 1 to CRM 2, I can take the list with me.
Absolutely.
I can take it wherever I want to go, but with Instagram, I can't. So I think that there's, you know, thinking about our sites and kind of going deep in that, if I'm going to set my website up to sell stuff, like to get them to convert, are there key differences? Because I hear a lot about, I'm going to put Botox on there and Juvederm, whatever, because the words, and I'm like, you know, SEO only works if not everyone's doing the exact same thing. When you use that exact same blurb from the company and every website in the whole city, it no longer has any value. So how do you set your site up to really convert patients into, or leads at least, into patients?
Yeah. So the two things that you touched on there, and I can touch on the second, on the first one in a minute too, but like when you were talking about, you know, do we put Dysport or Botox or Juvederm on our site? As far as SEO goes, one of the things that I've been obsessing over recently is short tail versus long tail keywords. And short tail is like just using the brand name. It's just saying Dysport. And then you populate some sort of a blog or something and you get backlinks for a Dysport article or something like that. However, people aren't searching that. They're not searching Dysport near me. Where's the closest place I can get Dysport? The newest patient is searching, how do I get rid of my deep etched wrinkles? They're searching fine line and wrinkle remover or something like that. They're searching these weird phrases that you can do research on locally to see what the most searched for phrases are. But where, if neurotoxin has, you know, 4,000 searches a month, how do I remove my wrinkles is going to have 25,000 searches a month. And you want that traffic. Because that traffic is saying, give me a specialist who has a local solution. That's one little differentiator. We can talk more about that later. But as far as setting your website up to sell and to have that conversion, you have to think through, how would you have a sales conversation? So when you're at the top of your website, when you're at the hero of your website, you want to have some sort of an empathetic statement where you're identifying with the client's potential concern. And this is where brands start attracting the people they want. Because, you know, if your whole thing as a med spa, as an aesthetic medicine practice, if your whole thing is that, hey, we offer the best prices, then maybe at the top of your website, it says all the glam, none of the charge, you know, or all the glam, half the price, you know, the look you've always wanted at the price you can afford. Something that people are like, oh my gosh, yes, that's me. Cause you want to identify with your target demographic. There are a lot of people that are listening to this right now. They're like, I would never. And it's like, yeah, maybe you would, maybe you wouldn't. So what would you say? You know, because like there are practices. I was talking to I'm not going to say his name because I don't have his permission, but I will say I was talking to somebody who owns a very successful chain of practices, and I was asking about his target demographic, and he goes, "Our target demographic makes $70,000 a year." And I was like, 70 grand a year? And he goes, yeah, we offer very, very affordable aesthetic treatments. And that's our thing. There are other practices that do just as much in revenue as him, but their whole thing is they have less patients and they charge more. So those people appeal to maybe the luxury vibe, you know, and they say, or maybe they're appealing to demographics that are above 60 and they say, you know, gain back the look of your youth or something like that. And that person, they're like, oh, great, that's my target demographic. So picking the person that you're speaking to first is crucial. And knowing who you want to be doing business with you first is crucial, because that's going to help you to lay out this copy. So that first section, you're going to identify with whoever that person is. So if the person that is a bargain hunter gets on your site and you're a luxury practice and you're only focusing on a few, then that phrase is probably going to turn them off, you know? And vice versa, if they're a luxury person and they're looking for some sort of a luxe experience and you have some sort of a bargain phrase, that's probably going to turn them off too. And that's totally fine, because you don't want to deal with them anyway, and vice versa. They don't want to deal with the other way around. The luxury practice doesn't want to deal with the bargain hunter, and the bargain hunting practice doesn't want to deal with the luxury person who thinks that they need this, this, and this, this, and this. You got to treat me like this. They're like, no, that's not how we do it here. We get them in, we get them out. That's it. You know, they have a target group of people that they're shooting for. So that first section, you want to make sure that you identify with your person. Then I always recommend, and the people that do this do very well, I always recommend afterwards, you give them something for free. Doesn't have to be a service, doesn't have to be whatever, but you give something that they would value at around $20, so that they will give you their email address and their phone number. You say, hey, fill out your information below to get a free skincare consult from one of our estheticians, or something like that. And they say, oh my gosh, I would love to. I want to learn more about my different types of skin, or sign up below to receive our info on oily skin or your skin type or something like that. Something that allows you to capture their information, because the goal of your website is to capture that person's information so that you can then reach out to them and book the appointment. Yes, we would love for 100% of the people to click our aesthetic record link that just books the appointment right away out of the website. Unfortunately, that's not always the case, and some people need time to warm up to that. So your goal on your website is, yes, you want to have the booking links available, and having something like Aesthetic Records booking calendar increases conversion rate by a significant amount, by the way. A lot of people, there are people who are really nervous about it that are like, and I'd love to hear actually your thoughts on that, on the actual booking calendar itself, because there are a lot of people who are like, no, I would never let somebody book themselves into my schedule and blah, blah, blah. And they're just like, no, I'm not giving the patient control of my schedule. And I'm like, you can tell that calendar how to book it in the same way that you would tell a front desk person. So I don't understand the fear here. Like, you can say, here are the parameters I want in place for you to make the decision on whether or not they could book in that time slot. And am I crazy? Isn't that more or less what they should be, how they should be programming these calendars to work?
So here's where I think the wheels fall off. First, I want to go back to one thing that you said about the $20 item for free.
Yeah.
This is where buying a Vizia has an ROI for you, because Vizia doesn't really have a fee to it, right? You don't pay. It's not a service that you get and you pay something for it. But if you said to someone, if you fill out this form, you get a free in-depth, you know, computer, digital, whatever you want to call it, facial in-depth scan of your skincare, and we'll recommend for you the right, you know, the right products afterwards. That service is a physical thing you can get. You can see the pictures of it. You can get the printouts of it. Like, it's a thing that you walk away with. And it also tells you what to buy. So it dictates a buying choice as soon as it's finished. So it's free-ish. But that's where I think sometimes devices, you don't feel like they're going to make you money, but they are the gateway to so many more things that the ROI is like hidden, but it is large. That's one for me that you can sell skincare on a Vizia all day long. So side note. The second thing on the booking part of it, this is where I think people get very confused, is the average person who makes enough money to come into a med spa works all the time. They're me, they're you. They work a lot. If I have to call you at before 5 o'clock to book with you, you will never see me a day in your life. It's not going to happen for you. Unless an assistant here does it for me, it ain't happening. I go to a lash person who is less good because I can book online all night long and she's open till 9 o'clock at night. I choose a less quality experience because the convenience of booking and the hours. What I think people think of when it comes to booking in a med spa is the patient's going to book the wrong thing. It's going to mess up my schedule for the whole day. I'm going to move them all around. It's just going to be chaos. Well, newsflash, your front desk person is also not an injector. They're going to book the wrong thing also. They're going to hear the patient say, I want to get rid of my wrinkles. They're going to think Dysport. Patient actually needs microneedling, RF microneedling, or they need a full sculpture treatment, or they need some in-depth laser, but they booked them for Dysport because they heard I got wrinkles and I want them to go away. A front desk person, unless they are a trained injector looking at a patient in real time doing a consult, they also don't know the answer. I don't care how good they are because they're on the phone talking to someone. They're as likely to make a mistake as a patient is on their own. But the benefit of it is the patient will actually book, and if it is wrong, I can call them and change it. If they choose not to book at all, I have no access to them. Again, the funnel is closed. I have no email address, no phone number. So the worst that can happen to you with online booking is that you don't have it and you don't get them. The best that can happen to you is that you get them and it's wrong and you fix it, it's okay, and you move on. Yeah.
Because it's the same phone call. You're still calling them. You know what I mean? Like if they book it and give you their information and it's jacked up because they're like, oh my gosh, they booked for five things within 30 minutes. It's not going to happen. Then you still get to make the same exact phone call that you would have made in the first place. Yeah, exactly. I completely agree with that.
And the average staff time for booking on a phone call is 8 minutes. If you're booking 50 patients a week, 100 patients a week, like that's the person's full-time job is just answering the phone. That's crazy town to me. Get a virtual assistant somewhere far away that can answer those routine questions and let your front desk person be an in-practice concierge who's actually making the workflow optimized between providers and checkout and retail counters and all those different things. Like let them do a traffic engineering job, not be a phone jockey all day. So that's, I think it's absolutely. It's a waste of human capital and of money capital as well. But the other part of that too with online booking is it's 24 hours a day, just like your website. If I have an Instagram ad that's amazing, that drives people to my site to do something, and then I don't let them book, I have lost them. To pay money to get someone to drive down my highway, my digital highway, to get to my, you know, my business, and then I say, gosh, you've driven all night long here, but we're closed. They're pissed at me, right? I want to take action right now. And if you don't have it for me, and if I'm hot and bothered by getting some toxin or some filler, and you can't meet my needs, as they say, this took a real big turn here.
I love it.
And you can't meet my needs, I'm going to go find another guy that can, right? Like, I'm going to move on from you because I want it right now. And so I think there's this impulse control that none of us have now in 2023. And if you don't have online booking, you are going to lose. I can promise you in 5 years from now, if you don't have it, you will cease to exist because the people who are in the market now, they depend on it for everything. They're using online everything, DoorDash, Instacart, Airbnb. I booked our entire vacation home on Airbnb and haven't even talked to the person who owns it. I'm going to go stay in their home for 5 days. Yeah. Like it's just our normal now. So it's the thing, and we're going to make mistakes anyway. So just make the mistake that at least gets them in your funnel where you can capture their information. Soapbox finished. My TED talk here is done.
I love that. And I think that's so crucial. In that, yes, you are going to fall behind. And I want to touch too on the virtual assistant thing is actually something that I see not enough people taking advantage of. And I have a friend who owns a really successful coffee shop out in Tampa, Florida. And I was like, man, and it's her second franchise. And she built everything from scratch. She's just a really scrappy, awesome young lady that is just crushing it. And honestly, she just wanted to live in Tampa. She goes, you know what? I'm just going to open up a franchise in Tampa. We're profitable enough down in Fort Lauderdale. Perfect. So I was like, how do you manage everything? She goes, oh, I have a virtual assistant that takes on all inbound communication for our business. All inbound communication is all done through a virtual assistant. And I was like, what are you talking about? She goes, I went on, and this is a super great little secret hack, guys. It's called onlinejobs.ph. It's a job board that you can post to that is in the Philippines for amazing people that can make themselves. Yeah, you got right? Are you guys using onlinejobs.ph?
Well, we use the Philippines. They're incredible. They're incredibly educated. They all have master's degrees. They're sharp as tacks. They have good English. Like, they're phenomenal. Phenomenal. And they are loyal and great employees. Yes.
Some of our employees that work in the Philippines are some of my best friends now. I'm great friends with, like, and we have kids that are the same age, like, and anyway, but online jobs, PH, finding a good virtual assistant that can answer, that can be kind of your just digital person is killer, you know, and you can have them, you know, you can have a handful of them working, and you're paying them very good money for the Philippines as well. So it's just a great little hack that if you wanted to have a virtual assistant in partnership with your practice, that's an excellent idea.
I think that brings up the next part of this too, is let's say you're really good at this stuff. Let's say your site, you know, you are converting, then you have a whole different set of problems, right? Because you now have to have lead gen, you have to have nurturing campaigns and automations. Yeah. And it's like with marketing, it's never one and done. Every great success in marketing creates a whole other opportunity to do something. I shouldn't say failure or obstacle, an opportunity to do more things. So it's a never ending cycle. But okay, back to what you're saying about our funnel is, you know, our header is good. We have our emotional plea to our customer, which is Donald Miller is proud of you right now for talking about that.
Yeah, I'm sure he is.
then you're moving on down the pipeline. We've just done our online booking link. And then what happens next?
Okay, so we're just going to take the homepage, for example. Let's go down the rest of the page. And then I do want to touch on something else too, with talking about sales funnels. So we got the hero of the website. We're identifying with the person. The next one, we're saying, hey, here's a little solution for you based on this person. Here's a little solution for you that we think you'd like. And they need to, generally the accepted amount of money that something should be valued at is $20. That's why I said the $20 thing is if they think that would be worth $20 to me, they will give you their phone number and email for it. For example, I have a business coach that gave away an ebook for how to build a successful digital marketing agency. And he's been my coach for years now, but he gave that ebook away for free and I downloaded it. And that was the beginning of his funnel. But it was because I'd value that. I would have paid for that $20 for an amazing book on digital marketing agencies. So give them something that's valued at least $20. Next, we need to credential you. We need them to say, why should I trust this person? Okay, so a lot of practices, and in fact, every practice, you have plenty of education that went into you being able to become an aesthetic injector. So let's lean into that. And so you've got, whether it's you being the aesthetic injector, whether it's you having a full team, whatever it is, there's some people, I know that we've talked a lot about the branded house versus the house of brands. You know, so you want to make sure that when you build, I'm the branded house camp. Some people are house of brands camp, which is totally fine, but I'm a branded house camp. So I would say, hey, make sure that whatever copy you have here when you're credentialing yourself is going to be good for the next couple years, regardless of who filters in and out of your business. So you want them to believe in this next section, or you want to let them understand that you're going to take care of them. You're going to make them feel safe. You're going to use the most highly educated people with the most current and cutting edge techniques. You want them to understand that, oh my gosh, these people are up to date. They know what they're doing and they've been doing it for a long time. And they're educated enough to be able to do it. Next, we haven't even told them what you do. We haven't told them your services yet. And we're still not going to. Next section is we're going to go into your reviews. We want them to know who likes these people. We want them to know, oh my gosh, these people are so good because of blah, 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 and because of the XYZ and because of blah, 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 blah. So essentially we're saying, hey, we can help you. Then we're saying, hey, here's something we can help you with right now. Then we're saying, here's who we are. Here's who likes us. Then we're going to, here's all the things that we do. You're going to have a top banner. So if somebody quickly is like, no, I don't want to go through your whole homepage and blah, 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 and they want to just get right to your services, that's fine. If you have a navigational bar at the top, you can put your services and they can go to it. But for the people that are going to scroll through that homepage, we're going to lead them through a conversation. We're not just going to throw blocks of info up there and say, okay, great. Let's put all of our services up front. Let's put our Instagram next and let's put this next because we just think that that's going to work. Let's lead them through a conversation. Hey, I know who you are. Here's something really quick if you want it. Here's who I am and here's who trusts me. And then lastly, here's what I do and here's what I do really well. After that, you've credentialed them. People have given you their stamp of approval. You have shown them that you're willing to help them out for free with something. And you've shown them, hey, I know who you are. By the time they get to the bottom of that page, they're clicking that booking link. They are saying, abso-freaking-lutely, I trust this person. Thank you so much for all that information. They have so many glowing 5-star reviews. I'm booking. Okay. And then, that's the general structure that we recommend people go through is you don't have to have your services on the homepage until towards the end, because if they're going to scroll through that conversation, we're going to tell them how that conversation's going, right? We're not going to, if they want to go to services, they can click the navigational bar. If they want to go to your about page, they can click the about page link. There are plenty of things that they can do themselves if they want to navigate, but if they are going to go through the homepage that you designed, you're leading the conversation, right? So it's the difference between your front desk person when somebody comes into the door, your front desk person leading the conversation versus just saying, all right, tell me how you want this to go to the person that's there. And it's like, yeah, but you're going to be hijacked by every single patient that comes into your practice that says, oh, well, I want this, or give me this, and I want that. And all of a sudden you're like, oh, actually, I should have led you through this. This is how it works here. So anyway, that homepage, that's what I would recommend. Empathize, offer them something that relates to maybe that empathy, credential yourself, and then do some social proofing of people that approve of you, and then show your services, and then your before and afters. And then a lot of people want to link to their Instagram, and they want to link to their social media channels and stuff that they're trying to grow. I would highly recommend you do not get them off of your website right then and there. So when I get people that say, hey, I want to put my social media feed on the homepage. And I say, why do you want to do that? They're like, well, because I want them to go subscribe to us on Instagram. I said, so where do you think they came from? They're like, well, a lot of our web traffic comes from Instagram. It's like, so they came from Instagram, and then you're going to get them go back to make sure they subscribed. And they're like, oh yeah, maybe you're right. I'm like, yeah, we can put it in the footer. We can put your Instagram and all your info and all that stuff at the footer. That's totally fine. But we only want lead magnets, things that allow you to capture their information. So if you're saying, hey, subscribe, put your info here, and we'll send you weekly YouTube videos. That's fine. That'll get them to subscribe to your YouTube channel, and it'll get you to capture their information. That's great. You know, or put your information here, and we're going to send you a blog every single week that talks about different skincare concerns and how to deal with it. Awesome. Because the goal of your website is to capture the info. It's a plus if they book. We want them to book, but the goal is let's at least get the info so we can reach back out to them. And another great little perk recently, have a little chat bot on your site. Not a chatbot that is live to a live person that is sitting at a computer 24/7, because that's not feasible or practical. Oh, and that's what I was going to touch on a second ago too, with automations, is have a chatbot that captures their information. That's it. It looks like, hey, how can we help you today? And then poof, they enter their name, phone number, email address, and their message. And then that goes to your CRM that texts them immediately. Immediately. If you are not getting back to a lead within, I think, what, 10 minutes? Is the accepted?
Yeah, it drops off like 60% after the first like 6 minutes, and then it goes down to like nothing. If it's over an hour, you're basically shooting, you know, fish in the dark.
Absolutely. Your conversion rate goes insanely down if you let it longer. I mean, longer than an hour is insane. You know, that'd be it. And you just have to think about it. Like, what if somebody walked into your practice? How long are they willing to wait? 5 minutes? 6 minutes, an hour, a day? Yeah, right. You're like, I'll have practices that we're running SEO for, or that we are driving leads into their business. And then they'll be like, oh, hey, can you help me out with whatever it is within their CRM? And I'll look, and there will be week old leads that I'm like, did you reach out to this person? They're like, oh yeah, I'm going to get to that today. I'm like, yeah, right. It's gotta be within 10 minutes that they get at least a touch point. You can wait. If you're booked for the day and you can't call them right then and there, that's fine. And that's where automations come in. So if they enter something onto your website, they should be getting a text message within 10 minutes or immediately. So you get text messages. Hey, thank you so much for reaching out. One of our team is going to reach out to you very shortly. In the meantime, we respond to this line. So go ahead and save our phone number. Here's a contact card that has, and your contact card has a picture of your business logo. It's got your website. It's got your address. It's got your business line, as well as this number saved. It's got your social media. That way, if they ever enter into Siri, you know, and say, hey, take me to, you know, beautiful med spa's location, poof, it's already in the phone, right? Or they look you up in your contact cord, or if you ever text them, they've already done the work of saving you into their phone. So when they see your name and logo pop up, they already intrinsically know that they can trust you. It's not just some random 10-digit phone number that they're like, I don't know if I can, I'm going to just delete this. Because when we get those intrusive texts, a lot of times our instinct is to delete it. And we've seen a massive increase in conversion rate when our clients save those phone numbers. So having that immediate touch point, and then having an automation built in that within the hour is sending notifications to the team members of the practice saying, yo, call this person, reach out to this person, send them a quick text. And then there will be maybe some sort of alternative text too that just goes to them that says, hey, thank you so much for reaching out. What can we help you with? And it at least starts the thread of them texting so that you can get back to them. So it's so crucial to have quick response times with your leads.
We got a lot to unpack there, brother. We gotta take about 15 steps back. So a couple of things I'm thinking about to go back to the website thing about the story is I think people are concerned, or I hear this a lot, that I've got to stuff my site full of all kinds of details for Google to appreciate me and to think I'm good. Well, we all know that there's this expertise, authority, trust score that Google looks at. And to me, I come from a technology background, right? That's what I do all day long, is the user experience, user interface, scores you a lot of points, right? I mean, it makes things, if the user can easily navigate your site, meaning the schema or the background architecture of it makes sense, like things are paired correctly, the site is structured really well. Part of Google's love for you and your site is how it is built, is how it is laid out, not just what's in it, but how the layout looks and feels. And yeah. I think what Jared's saying is that when the user can engage in a story, they will engage more heavily, which Google appreciates because it means that whatever you're putting out there is working. Again, your EAT score is high, your EAT score, so it's good. So I think there is a part of it where we've been keyword stuffing for so long. We know that no longer works. People are still doing it, however, but getting the user to stay on your site and keep reading, keep looking, values are so much more valued for the algorithms, if you want to call them that, I think, for long-term success with Google. So that's one thing, is think about your schema or your structure.
I was just going to touch on keyword stuffing, and keywords are just for the layman is basically it's the things you want to show up for on Google. So let's say that I live in Orlando. If I'm a med spa in Orlando, Florida, it's just, you'll see these websites that you can typically tell are built by people who are either inexperienced or older, where every single sentence and paragraph has med spa in your home city. You know, if you're looking for a med spa in Orlando, Florida, you look no further. This med spa in Orlando, Florida is excellent because of X, Y, Z, blah, 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 blah. You know, no more worries. Make sure that you've got your med spa in Orlando, Florida that you booked now today or something like that. And you're like, geez, in like one paragraph, you can clearly tell that they were not trying to give you information. They were just trying to show up on Google, and it breaks trust big time. So that's what keyword stuffing is shoving words that you think are going to show up on Google. And it might work short term. You might get some results for a couple months, but Google is very quickly going to realize, oh, this is just spam. And then you're going to rank low. And it is very difficult to dig yourself out of those holes.
Yeah. Save that for your YouTube titles. You know, you can put that on YouTube.
Absolutely.
But I think the other part of that too, and this is where I think going with the person. So obviously Jared works in the industry. You know, you're working with clients every day at Aesthetic Conversion who are in our industry. The part people forget about within, not in Google, but legally, these wild claims people make on the websites. Like, we're going to cure everything. We're going to make you look 10 years. You cannot say we're going to make you look 10 years younger. That is illegal. You cannot do that. There is the FTC, the FDA. I mean, I can give you a laundry list of all the laws. I write a lot of compliance training. You cannot make wild claims that says that this treatment helps every single person. This makes every person look younger. And so I think when you work with someone who's in category, they understand the nuances of that. If you work with someone who's just marketing, like just a marketing person, they're used to saying, we're the best ever. We're so great. Yeah. But when it comes to medicine and patients and prescriptions, you lose the ability to say those things, because if you do say those things on Instagram and on your website, you'll get a nice letter from the FDA or from the FTC that will say, you're donezo, sister. Cease and
absolutely
desist.
Yeah, and or you'll just get shut down. They already made the appeal to Google, and they removed your domain.
Exactly. And so there's a huge risk there that people don't, they never think about that. And that risk is right now ever more important. It's becoming a very hot topic across the industry, especially from the compliance perspective. So think about that. Mm-hmm. Last thing I'll say is, you mentioned text message marketing, which I love, and I think that there is a key difference of the delivery of email and text. I think about this a lot because we think about it here too. If I get a text, I'm going to read it instantly. Like my quick win, it's almost like my tweet. I'm going to read the Twitter feed quick and dirty. And I'm going to probably respond or act in some way because I read it. I would love to be able to go back to my email and see what you sent me most recently and read about it or learn more about it. So I feel like the email, people are like, I'll just do text messaging. Like, but you need to send longer form content in email because I'm going to want to learn more about you. Just like Instagram and your website, same kind of dichotomy there. I want to get the text and think, huh, they have a promo on cold sculpting. I just saw that they sent a blog out about that. I should read that, because then yes. I might decide to actually respond in the text and go book. So I think you have to really have both. The text messaging is so in the moment, and it makes people do some kind of an action in that instant, which I think is so important for our impulse control.
But, and that's the biggest, well, with those texts, that's the biggest thing for text success. When you said having something in that moment, is that A, texts need to be short, very short. If you have a long text you send out, you're sold. They're not even going to read it. If it's like a whole paragraph and you're just basically copy pasting what you would have put in an email into text, they're going to think that you're spam and they're going to block you. If you put three bullet points that says, hey, first name, hey, so-and-so, hey, first name, come this month to Orlando Med Spa. We've got XYZ going on. We've got 20% off skincare. We've got this going on and we've got this going on. Click yeah, or write reply yes to claim any of these awesome offers, or reply book now to claim any of these awesome offers. Give them a call to action at the end of your text message that is automated, by the way, that you have a trigger built into your CRM that if they reply with book now or yes or whatever your trigger word is, that it automatically enters them into your sales funnel for your salesperson and replies with the text saying, awesome, we're so excited. Which one specifically are you excited about? And that's just an automated text that goes back to them, but it starts the conversation and they're like used to texting already. Oh my gosh, well, I'm really interested in that skincare thing. I've been having some oily skin issues. Then your salesperson picks up the conversation and away they go. So having a call to action in those texts is crucial, and keeping them short, not overloading them with emojis. Having one or two is awesome, but overloading them with emojis, that's a lot of the education that we'll do with any clients who want to do their own text message marketing. We'll typically do, you know, a couple blasts for them a month. And then sometimes people say, oh, well, I just want to send out a quick one. What do you think about this? And it'll have 45 emojis in it over and over. And I'm like, I'm stressed reading your submission. So I cannot imagine what the rest of your people are. And then we'll rephrase it and say, hey, just make it like this. We're going to put one emoji in the whole thing. And here's what it's going to look like. And the conversion rates are insane. The conversion rate that you get out of text messaging when it's done properly and people trust you. When you're spamming people's phones, you're spamming people's phones. But when you get the proper opt-ins and you get the right list of people who say, yes, I want that, it is very, very, very powerful.
Agree. And I think email marketing can be powerful as well. I think email is a tricky thing, though. Obviously, deliverability issues. And, you know, if you bounce so many times, you get shut down from your email server, you know, service. There's always risk, but obviously with Twilio as well, with text messaging. But I think for email, people, they want to read a story or read something engaging or have the content be worthwhile. I'll tell you, I get 1,000 emails a week, I mean, if not more. But when I hear something that's like a compelling story, I will open it up and read it. Like, you know, 10 ways to solve your digital marketing headaches, you know, some catchy subject line. And then I'm like, gosh, if I could actually learn 10 things in this like quick 2-minute scan, that email is worth it. And I opt into all kinds of things because of those kinds of emails. I was like, watch this webinar next week. I might not come to the webinar at all, but I've taken an action. So now I'm in a whole different funnel and I get new content from them. It's like I keep graduating into new funnels, new content, new pieces. But and those emails have value for me, and I can learn something and not just like a spammy email. I think folks, we see it here when we send out how to do something emails, how to fix a problem in your system, how to train on a certain feature. They get opened all the time. We send out, hey, we're going to have a big Black Friday promotion. No one cares. They're getting those emails all day, every day from everyone doing Black Friday promotions. Sure. They just assume that you have it. Like, of course you have a promotion. But if I said, here's how to structure your promotions and how to help your business to book more patients in and to get more ROI on your, you know, on your deals, that they'll read because it's helpful for them. Because again, I want to be their navigator and their helper and their guide. And that compelling argument at the top saying, I'm going to help you, I'm here to help you, I think prompts them to want to read it. In a text, you can't do that, but it does connect all, you know, it all comes to the same funnel.
Yeah, well, and the other thing too is you can structure those promotional emails not as, it's still probably good to send out the one that says big Black Friday deal for those that might want it. But to have an informational or a value add one that at the very end of it has a little bit that says, by the way, we're doing a big, and it's at the very, very bottom of the whole thing. By the way, we're doing a big Black Friday deal, XYZ. You've got the attention at that point too. And you provided the value so that by the end of it, they're like, oh my gosh, these guys are great. You know, you've told them, hey, I'm willing to invest into you first and show you that I'm trustworthy and help your business. Like, our goal is to help your business. And I think once people can believe that, then it's working with each other becomes a lot easier.
Yeah, I think about like acne is like always a big one. it's like, here's the common ways we can help you fight acne, or, you know, what causes your acne. And it's like, don't eat chocolate, don't eat this, don't eat that, whatever it is. And then, oh, by the way, we have an amazing facial geared toward acneic skin. It's on promotion this month, and we can help put all these things you just learned about in place in one visit. Like that to me, I'm like, oh, well, I just learned about all of it. Let me go get this done. And then I'll have a clean slate to start. Start fresh. I think there's value in that, but certainly for a book schedule, text messaging, hey, we have openings coming, you know, next week at 2 o'clock, you can book a schedule in an instant with text messages. It's like, it's crazy fast, but I'm sure there's overuse as well. So what are the risks in using text messages? What are things that we need to make sure we don't do if we rely on that kind of marketing channel?
Yeah, overuse is a great word for it. Over texting people over and over and over, you're going to get your phone number flagged. You're going to get it brought down. And there is a there's a new board. I forget what the board is exactly called, but A2P is the thing that they are ripping down. It's app to person texting, and this new board, it just got launched like a month ago, January 2023, and they are crashing down on spam text messages, which means that any 10-digit phone number that you have, 10DLC, I think is what it's called. It's the A2P board that manages 10 DLCs. And the 10-digit phone numbers that you have that you're texting people from, if that thing is not approved, first and foremost, through the A2P board, the mass text is not going through, period. Secondly, if your complaint rate goes up because people are blocking your number, then it's going to go down as well. So you always want to make sure that people are opted in. They have to agree to receiving your text. Legally, they have to agree to receiving your text. You're not going to be able to, you're not going to get sued or anything because of it, but they can take your number down and they can make sure that you don't get to send texts anymore, which is very, very, very frustrating. And a lot of people, they rely on text for regular communication for their business. So you want to make sure that you are not oversending this so that people are blocking, and you want to make sure that people are opted in when they get this. So even if, let's say you're bringing on texting for the first time, I always encourage people, hey, send one big text saying, hey, just wanted to let you know, this is Orlando Med Spa. We just got a phone number and we want to send you guys one monthly text that's letting you know about specials that we're doing in the practice. Reply yes to opt into this group. Reply no to opt out. Don't tell them reply stop, because if you say reply stop, that's going to get flagged by the phone carriers as well, and you're going to get a big, big complaint rate right out the gate. Now, it's okay if, you know, if you're sending out to 1,000 people and 1 or 2, 5 or 10 people reply with stop, that's okay. But if you get 100, if you get 10% of your audience that is saying stop, your number might get taken down. So make sure that you get that opt-in first, because the last thing you want is to potentially future use this to like actually communicate with people, and then you can't because it's blocked on most lines.
Yeah, I do Twilio all the time. We've been using the A2P thing in Twilio for, I don't know, a couple of years. And if you don't have your number all registered in the right way and do all the compliance, I do it every single month. I have to do all the compliance monitoring. But part of it, too, is thinking about what you can and can't say. So people get really mad at me. They get really mad at us. The word CBD, you cannot send a text that says CBD on it. It will get flagged from Twilio and you'll get your number shut off. It happens here all the time. And so we have hard stops in our system where you can't name a service CBD something, because we know that we rely on texting for appointment reminders, for follow-ups, and for even two-way text messaging. And so we know that if you name it CBD massage, CBD something, it will never get to the patient. And so we get these phone calls, like they're angry with us about, so-and-so never got their messages. We're like, yeah, because you wrote CBD in there. So then we put a flag that says you can't make that a service name. Yeah. Now you're telling me how to do my charting. I'm like, no, I'm trying to make your life easier. If you were to text it on your own with your own Twilio number and your own system from any other app, it's going to have the same outcome. It's going to get blocked. So there are certain words you can't say. You know, even things, any kind of language that sounds inflammatory, like they're reviewing every text that goes through every day at Twilio all the time. And Twilio does all of us, like it does Uber, Lyft. I mean, it's the gold standard. Yeah. And they will shut numbers down left and right. And so I think text messaging, you have to be cognizant of your campaigns, what you're selling, what you're pushing, people getting mad, the traffic. I mean, if your emails get blocked, like the world's not over because you have texting. If your texting gets blocked and you really depend on that, it's a hard place to come back from.
We had a client because of that new A2P board that got that pushed through in January. We had a client whose text got like their single texts, like the one-on-one texts were fine because there was like a grace period and they were able to get sent through. but their group text could would not go through. And it was while we were like navigating that for them. And they were like, this has been a major, it was a major issue for them because their profitability went down that month in a very significant way. Like their profitability went down to the point where they're like, listen, this cannot happen next month because we didn't realize that this is like actually one of the biggest revenue generators, you know, for us right now. So, and plus they had prepared for this. So you want to be as respectful as possible to that. And yeah, CBD and also PRP was a big one for a while too, where even on your website, you couldn't like put certain things about PRP because you would get flagged.
I think that one's still dicey. I think you can still get your hand slapped for PRP. I think in certain states, because it's not technically FDA approved for what we say it's approved for. So I think PRF is also a little dicey. Stem cells, you get in big trouble if you say stem cells. Exosomes, you can say, but don't say stem cells.
Yeah. I tell them just to avoid it altogether. I just say, hey, just focus on the outcome. And going back to like you talking about websites getting flagged for saying, look 10 years younger. I say, listen, just focus on appealing to the person, telling them what you do, and then getting them to book. Then, if you want to, you might get in trouble for what you say in your practice, but it's not going to ruin you in Google. So, you know, however you want to communicate that in practice is fine, but on your website, like empathize with the person. And then let them know what you're going to do to solve the problem. You don't have to make wild claims. And let your before and after speak for themselves. Show them your before and afters and say, listen, this is what we made this person look like. They went from this, now they look like this. You don't have to rely on wild claims to get patients.
Well, you said the magic word. You said Google. So as we kind of get to the bottom of our hour here, I want to talk about how you rank with Google. We're big here on local SEO, things like Yext, Stephen Simrush, these companies that manage it. Because there's a lot of listings out there, a lot of places you got to be and things you got to do. And of course, Google's they scrutinize everything. So you focus a lot on with your customers, getting them to the first page of Google and getting their Google rank to be, you know, phenomenal and fantastic. What are some just pearls? Don't give away all the secrets that people pay you for, but give us some pearls and some tips that we can use to increase our Google presence.
Yeah, I think one is content creation. So if you're a practice that wants to manage on yourself, create content. And that's kind of an easy leg up. You might do a lot more work as someone, you know, if you're brand new into SEO, if you're just creating content, whether it's blogs, whether it's YouTube videos, whether it's, whether it's general or even borrowed content onto somebody else's blog, or you're being interviewed for articles, content creation is going to be king. That's going to be one of the biggest things that helps you rank that's why for the record, like your guys' podcast is I know that this is a value add to your clients, but it is an SEO juggernaut. You look up anybody, any physician that has been on your podcast, and they're one of the top 3 to 5 things, but just by Googling this person's name is going to be For the Record. So the amount of backlink that you guys done, even through this, is been freaking tastic. And I don't think people realize that content creation is actually one of the, when done well, when done like the way that you guys are doing it, is one of the greatest things to help you rank. Now, if you're doing it yourself, you might do more work for less result. That's where somebody like us comes in, where we can do precise work that gets you excellent result. And making sure that you're doing good research on what is going to get you traction, because there's a lot of people that say, oh, I just really want to rank for this weird machine name that I just bought, you know, and it's like some very underknown machine, but they paid a lot of money for it. So they say, oh, well, I just want more appointments for it. So I want to rank for this machine. And we will say, well, listen, honestly, just by virtue of you being the only person on the East Coast that even has the machine, you're already ranking on page one for it. But I'm going to let you know, the search volume for it is 10 searches a month, and I think they're all you. You know, so it's like, but what does the machine do? They're like, well, the machine is a fully ablative laser. I was like, oh, so maybe let's talk about getting rid of deep etch wrinkles. Then maybe let's do some long tail keywords, and then let's list that as a solution to get some more appointments. Then they're like, oh, okay. Because then they'll get upset and say, well, I'm not on the first page for this laser. And I say, but are you getting more appointments? They're like, well, yeah. It's like, well, that's because the strategy is we want you to get more appointments. We don't care. I don't care if you show up on the first page of Google for any specific word. I care if you're getting more appointments. If you're not getting more appointments, what are we doing? We're all wasting our time. And I know in 6 months, you're going to say, Jared, my business is not increasing. I'm like, well, you're right. It's because we're focusing on all these short tail keywords that don't really matter that much. Let's focus on the results that your clients are trying to create, and let's have some long tail keyword strategies that we're doing as well. So content creation, I think, is one of the easiest layups for people to do in their practice. And it can pair with your social media strategy, with your current marketing strategy. Just having content creation be a part of your SEO is going to be kind of a layup. It's like, oh, well, I'm already doing a social media post where I'm talking about the benefits of Arnica for bruising or something like that. It's like, great. Then take that social media post that you're filming of yourself, take the transcript, edit it so that it looks good, and throw it into a blog. So you at least have the copy on your website, you know, then you can at least start ranking for bruising. You know, maybe you're not going to rank specifically for bruising, but that's an example. If you're going to film content, at least get the transcript and put it into like a blog on your site. It's kind of a layup for people. Content creation is going to be king.
Yeah. And you mentioned all kinds of things there too. I think about with content creation and with, you know, blogs and all the stuff that goes into it, to take like a total left turn here. I don't want to not talk about ChatGPT before we get off this podcast, Jared, because content creation is very, very hard. But you're right. For the Record ranks crazy high. So does Aesthetic Next, because we put so much content around that and it's a strategy. But I think what people forget about with content is, if I'm going to buy that crazy device you mentioned, the ablative laser, I should research before I buy it. Who's searching for it? Are they in my local market searching for it? Because people get really distracted about national trends. Like, but you're not a national med spa. You're in Orlando, Florida. What is your local market searching for? If they're not looking for ablative lasers and it's not even part of their like vocabulary when they look for anything, any searches, that's not what they want, then bring it into here could work, but you're going to have to be a trailblazer and a pioneer because no one here wants it yet. And if you're okay with that, you like hard things, then go for it. But people have to think about, Google gives you the master directory of what you should and shouldn't buy because what the trends are or are not in your local market. So leverage it for that. I think that's such an untapped tool.
Yeah, don't just buy a device or get a product because it seems trendy or because that product or that company is doing a lot of great marketing around it. You know, if there's a new filler, a new neurotoxin, or a new device or a new service that you see, oh my gosh, everyone around the country is doing it. It's like, does your local market give a rip? Because if they don't waste your money. You know, and I think sometimes people are just excited to try the new thing, but they forget that, oh, actually, I'm in business to help my patients, not just to satisfy my curiosity on how something like this could work.
Yeah, so I agree. And I think we get confused too on what's easy and what's easy to market. If the vendor gives us pre-made content that we can just put on our website because it's so easy to do, and then I think that's another whole debacle. But let's talk about real quick here some AI, because I think that part of the content creator in 2023 has an amazing tool set in front of them. If they're smart, they do. We've been using ChatGPT here for, I don't know, a couple of years. We're pretty familiar with it. We love working on prompts and digging deep and diving deep. And so I have a lot of experience with it personally. So do you, where you get amazing results, but they aren't able to be used fresh off the screen. You can't copy and paste. It does require some maneuvering and some minutia there, because Google is now smart and knows that we're all using it. But you've got some cool things up your sleeve that you've kind of been working on with human detection and such. So give us an idea, if you've not used it at all and you're hearing about it, what is it and how do you use it for content creation without getting dinged by our friends at Google?
Yeah. So ChatGPT is an artificial intelligence. If you hear AI, it's an artificial intelligent writer. It is a writing program, by the way. It is not a sentient being that's going to take over. There are so many blogs and podcasts and crap that I see. People are like, oh my gosh, ChatGPT. We taught ChatGPT how to tell us the secrets of what's going on. I'm like, no, you didn't. You educated a creative writing program on how to write a fantasy fiction for you so that you felt like you discovered something. You didn't. And ChatGPT, you can educate it as an AI and say, hey, here's our tone, here's our brand, here's how I want you to communicate, here are the types of keywords I want you to include in this content, and here's the type of content that we're writing. Go. And then ChatGPT says, great, thank you, sir. And then boom, it'll write it out. It is not a sentient being that's going to take over. And I think there's a lot of people that are shockingly scared of that. I'm like, listen, that is it. So one cool thing about ChatGPT, so it's an artificial intelligence, which means you can educate it prior to it giving you the prompt or prior to it giving you content. So let's say you're writing content for your website. Like I did this for a client a couple of days ago. And here's the first thing I'm going to say. Copying and pasting AI content will eventually get you flagged. Okay. So do not use it as gospel. Use it as a framework. Use it as a baseline. It's going to give you a really awesome starting block, but change it. Because if you use it for your website exclusively, if you just copy paste from AI into your website, you're going to get flagged by Google and your website domain rating is going to go down. If you use it for email marketing and you copy and paste it into your emails, you're going to start to get flagged and your domain rating is going to go down. If you use it for text messages, you're going to start to get flagged and your text message rating is going to go down and you're going to start not being delivered. So do not copy paste directly from AI. All that said, that's my grand warning, because it'll ruin your business if you use it wrong. But to use it right, you can. So you can educate AI and teach it all about your business and then say, produce content. So for example, a couple of days ago, we were creating a new series of pages for one of our client's service pages. And I said, you know what? I'm going to use ChatGPT and create all the paragraphs for this. And then I'm just going to run the paragraphs by them, make sure it's all factually accurate, and then we'll publish them. There were some things that it didn't write correctly, and I'll explain that in a second. But I took 10 minutes-ish with ChatGPT and I said, hey, we're going to write today. I need your help with writing some website copy. Do you understand? ChatGPT says, yes, I understand. You want me to do this, this, and this. What kind of web copy are you going to write today? Today, we're going to write web copy for a med spa based in Orlando, Florida. This is their name. Do you understand? I said, yes, I understand. Great. All of these paragraphs need to be 50 words. Do you understand? Yes, I understand. And you basically, when you're educating AI, you need to talk to it like it is like it just learned English. And you don't want to overload it with a bunch of complex things at once. You're writing one big paragraph that says all these different, no, just give it one command at once and say, did you get that? Yes, I got that. Okay, great. Next, I want you to write with this tone. I want this structure. This is where maybe somebody like you or I that writes conversion copy all the time, I told it, here's the conversion style I want the paragraph to have. I want it to open with a problem that a client has. I want it to have the second sentence be how the Orlando practice solves it. And then the third one is I want it to address a potential concern that a client might have regarding that service. It says, okay, thank you. I said, can you repeat back to me what it is? Can you confirm to me that we're accurate? And it says, yes, you want it to blah, 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 blah. I said, perfect. Here's a list of services. I want you to write a paragraph for every single one of those. And then it had 38 services. I set it on autopilot and then I worked for the next 20 minutes while it produced all of those, because I'm on the free plan with ChatGPT. I should upgrade. Do you pay for it?
You should upgrade for sure.
It's so fast when you upgrade. I haven't done it because we use it sparingly because we want to make sure that it's organic content as well. But when you do that, there are AI detectors that you can throw your copy in. And if I were to just say, write a description paragraph for filler to help sell for an Orlando practice, ChatGPT would write it. You copy and paste it into an AI detector, and it'll give you a 99% chance that that was just written by AI. If you educate it like that for 10 to 15 minutes, then copy and paste and put it into an AI detector. I think 2 days ago, I sent you that screenshot video I shared with Tiffany. And I was like, look at this. And I copy and pasted it in, and it said there was an 89% chance that a human wrote it because it wrote with a specific tone. It had very specific information about the practice. It had very specific information and style about how it was writing regarding the actual service itself. And it included these keywords that it couldn't have been an AI that was writing this when in actuality, obviously it was. Educating your AI really well is going to help mitigate some of those issues. And then all it's doing is writing the content that you know how to write. You're just not farming it out without not knowing how to do it. And then once you get those paragraphs, tweak and change them a little bit just to make sure that like you're not, use them as a baseline. Don't use them as gospel every single time. And so when I listed all of their services, they had a service called the Platinum Hydrafacial, and it's like, well, it's a very practice specific thing that ChatGPT is not going to be able to write well. It still wrote some good content, but it wasn't specific enough for them. So they made a couple changes before putting that in. But it's really, really, really effective if you educate it well.
Yeah, I think what you mentioned about the prompt, we call it here prompt engineering. I'm not sure the real word for it, but it's important not only for what you're mentioning, but also because if you put in a generic prompt, so will I, and so will you, and so everybody else. You know, if I put in Botox, write a blog about relaxing my wrinkles in Orlando, Florida, whatever it is, getting Botox in Orlando, Florida. If another med spa in Orlando writes the same prompt, we're going to have very similar content, like extraordinarily similar content, because we've not done enough prompt engineering to give us a unique response. And so I think there is a risk where if you don't spend time training it and you don't spend time drilling down, then you run the risk of having very generic-ish content that anyone could look at. But I think what you mentioned, and we discussed this, you and I, the smart will get smarter, and those who don't know will still not know anything after ChatGPT. You have to be able to synthesize it, read it, decide if it is or isn't appropriate for your audience. Like, you have to still use a lot of your thinking cap with ChatGPT. It just gives you the boilerplate or the ready, set, go that you can then take and make actions out of. You know, make blogs and Instagram posts, but you have to still know what you're doing. But it does make the work a whole lot faster because it looks at the whole internet in like an instant. But you can say things like, forget everything I've told you, start over. It's like you're having a whole conversation. Yeah. And it's like, you know, we're back and forth. But it is like having a conversation. And you can even do fun things. I don't know if you've done this yet, but write this as if you're Donald Trump. And it's like, we're the best. We're going to be the best.
I was on today with a client, and they were like, have you used ChatGPT? And I was like, let me tell you. And we went in, and then they are a, I'm not going to say who it is. It's a celebrity comedian that's the client of ours. We only have like one out of niche client, and it's them because of this person. And they write in a very like sassy, like comedic tone. And it's a charity for Alzheimer's. And I said, watch, let's educate it for a second, and then let's have it write an email for you. And it said something like, it started off, the final prompt after we educated it said, write an email about brain health habits with a comedic tone. And it started off with something like, tired of forgetting your own name or your cat? Sorry, Mr. Whiskers. And then it like went through and said, we're doing a webinar to talk about XYZ and blah, blah, blah. So make sure you write down the date in your phone, or on your cat if you can find it. And it was like this super sassy, goofy email that all of us were cracking up reading. And I was like, this is just, and they were like, this is just as funny as anything that we would have written. So like the implications that you can use it across the board is limitless. And the tone that you can ask it to write in is limitless.
And you can do SOPs, you can do leases, you can do medical director agreements. I mean, you can literally, to your point, it's a writing tool. I mean, people think it's probably sentient, it can take over the world, but it really is a writing tool. But it can also structure data for you. If you put in some random numbers, it'll give you like an Excel spreadsheet, kind of like data analysis. It brings structure to the world of things that are not structured, but it's a wonderful tool. I think if you think about automations with your CRM, you think about things like ChatGPT, look at things like virtual assistants, use systems like SEMrush or Yext, use things like Canva to make your, you know, to make your images if you're doing it on your own. Yeah. Get a good Grammarly tool to make sure that your grammar is good and appropriate and sounds like you're educated. Yeah. You know, there are so many tools at our disposal now that if we have any of those things in place and then we bring on someone like you to come help us to really go to the next level, we already have a foundation in place to be amazing. I think when you start from nothing and then say, okay, Jared, what do we do next? And it's like, you've got nothing done ever. I mean, it's a much harder hill for you to climb to get them there versus you polishing and making them amazing. So, and I think now more than ever, it doesn't take so much to be great. I mean, it doesn't take so much to at least get that bump that you need to start. And then you work with a consultant to really go to the next level and to really convert and make all the other pieces fall into place. So I think you can do some of it on your own, but you've got to use smart tools. You're busy as an injector, as a practice owner. You're not the marketing person. Like, that's just not your job. That's not what you've been trained to do. You don't live in Aldi like we do. So use what you have available to you. And I think that there's just, absolutely, there's goods and there's bads, there's do's and there's don'ts, but whatever makes your website better, whatever makes your sales conversion process easier, whatever makes your content creation process easier, it's worth a try. Absolutely. Every time.
Yeah, I completely agree. And there's other cool things you can do. Like, you can, I used it the other day when I was making I was working on a project internally, and I was like, I need to come up with service names for this practice. So I told ChatGPT, hey, I need a bunch of options for Botox service names. that are focused on being results oriented rather than it just being Botox. So they wrote out wrinkle relaxer treatments. They wrote out remove your wrinkle. They wrote out relax the face or whatever it was. Like they wrote out like 15 different options for me. And I said, ooh, I like that one, but let's change that word. So it's just an amazing, it's when calculators came around, I'm sure there were people that said mathematicians are going out of business. No, it just makes your job smoother, more efficient, and allows you as the practitioner to find the best option and run with that. That way it gets rid of the thinking time that you don't have to have. You're outsourcing your thinking time.
Well, the girls here use it to build their workout plans. So
really? That's cool.
It can do really anything. It can pass the bar, it can pass the medical school, all the step tests, it can pass like your final boards. I mean, it's crazy good. But all that to say, I think we are way over our time, which you and I are notorious for this. We just keep going and going and going. Mm-hmm. But first of all, I love having you on because I feel like you're just full of knowledge and excitement and passion for all that you do. And so I think it comes through here for sure, talking about sales funnels and Google and chat AI and all the things it can be doing. But tell the audience how to find you, because they're going to want to pick your brain, obviously. And also, if you have any more gain business things coming up in the near future, you'll be at Aesthetic Next for sure. You'll definitely be there doing a workshop on Google and Google Analytics, and also some discussions about text marketing and some different things inside of our business track. But give us your deets and then where we can find you next.
Yeah. So you can go to aestheticconversion.com if you want to learn more about what we do, or learn more about me. My phone number's on there. So if you want to text me, it's right on. And there's a little chat bot on there if you want to reach out to me and text me from there. I'm definitely doing Aesthetic Next. I'm doing a handful of other shows. I'm doing Learners and Legacies, which is coming up in a couple months as well. I'm doing a handful of great shows. I'm very excited for Aesthetic Next because of A, the talks and the workshops that you and I have been talking about. I'm very excited about. And what's going on with the Nexties in the background and the planning is very exciting as well. So I'll be doing that. I don't have any gain business things booked at the moment, but I am in talks with a handful of practices that we might be booking something soon. So I'm working with Revision on a couple other fun projects too. So stay tuned. Revision's Elite Retreat is coming up too. I'm going to be there. I think you'll be there, right?
I'll be there too. Absolutely.
Amazing. Yeah. So that's something that you should definitely be qualifying for if you're a revision practice. Go to aestheticconversion.com. You can email me, jared@aestheticconversion.com. You can text me, 707-386-9600, whenever you want. Enter Jared Loveaboy as the as the contact.
As the contact name.
If you have any questions, or honestly, if you just want to geek out like me and Tiffany do, feel free to reach out, and I will take a 1 hour phone call any day of the week to talk about how ChatGPT can improve your business, or about how SEO or proper web structure can improve your business. That's something that I appreciate you saying. That's the thing that I'm the most passionate about, is I just want people to be excited about their business and to feel like they're moving towards the right direction. Anything I can do to help, even if that's just a conversation, I'm excited about that. And that's not, you know, it's not just words. I like helping people out. So feel free to call or text me anytime.
Well, I can attest to that. You do. You take us all under your wing and help us grow. So yes, passion, you are not short on that supply at all. And also a dad and baby's on the way and all the things. Yeah. So you got a lot going on, but we will see you for sure in September. And for those of you who are listening, definitely go to Jared's website, check them out, all that they can do to help you to really like boost your business and get that schedule totally booked. Yeah. But for everybody else, we will see you next week for episode 59. Bye, Jared. Bye, guys.
Bye. Thanks, everyone.
Thanks for listening to another episode of For the Record. This podcast is not intended to provide legal or medical advice. It's for entertainment, education, and information purposes only. For more information on this week's guest or to get started with Aesthetic Record, email us at info@aestheticrecord.com. Be sure to tune in next week for more fresh perspectives on disrupting the status quo and surviving in the aesthetics industry.